This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. The economy of northern Minnesota along the shore of Lake Superior depends on tourism. Visitors flock there in the summer to camp and canoe, and later in the winter to ski. Now, during this slow, dark time of year, locals are trying to lure a new, growing demographic, so-called astro-tourists. Here's Dan Crocker from Minnesota Public Radio.
On the far northeastern tip of Minnesota, Travis Nowitzki likes to walk to a place where a gnarled, centuries-old tree seems to grow straight out of the rock.
So right now we are standing on the Lake Superior shoreline. We hike down to Manido Gijigants, which is Ojibwe for Little Spirit Cedar Tree.
This is a sacred place on the reservation of the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Visitors must be accompanied by a tribal member.
It's a great spot just to sit and take in what's going on around you.
It's only about 7 o'clock at night, but it's dark. Every few moments, the moon and a blanket of stars emerge from behind fleeting clouds. This is one of Nowitzki's favorite places to pursue his passion, photographing the night sky.
Sitting on the shoreline of a lake, seeing the stars reflected in the water, is an experience unlike anything else. Throughout day-to-day life, you know, which can be pretty hectic sometimes, it can be hard to kind of quiet your mind. And coming out to these places, whether I'm taking photos or not, is just that way for me to kind of slow down, take a breath, just be in that moment and appreciate it. You know, just you and the sky, you and the stars.
And increasingly, more people are venturing to remote, dark places like this to share in that experience. 5 years ago, tourism officials here published an online map of good spots to view the northern lights. They launched a dark sky festival in early December during the darkest time of year. Lodges offer stargazer packages at more than $200 a night. Tourism marketer Kirsty Vick says she first realized the appeal of the region's night skies when she was sitting around a campfire a few years ago with out-of-town friends. All of a sudden, it got really quiet.
And they were all just staring at the sky, and they're like, are there always this many stars in the sky? And it was kind of eye-opening for me, for somebody who grew up in this area and always saw this many stars in the sky, that not everybody gets to experience this and not everybody gets to see this.
Scientists estimate 99% of Americans live under light-polluted skies. Nearly 80% of North Americans can't see the Milky Way. And as the world gets brighter, dark sky tourism has grown. Valerie Stimmick-Bailey, author of the Lonely Planet book, Dark Skies, A Practical Guide to Astrotourism, says it's hard to quantify that growth, but she says it was clearly boosted by the pandemic.
Astrotourism actually benefited because there is no better activity for getting out and getting away from people than stargazing. And so there was a ton of increased interest in finding stargazing spots and going to national parks for night sky activities.
Photographer Travis Nowitzki sees that increased interest firsthand. He says spots he used to have all to himself now might have another half dozen cars there. And he struggles with that. He knows some of those people are probably there because of him and all the photographs he's taken over the years of the night sky.
The more people that come to experience that makes it harder to continue to get the same experiences that I'm used to and why I love it. But at the same time, it's rewarding in a sense because I know that those folks, they're there because they want to experience a piece of what I experience.
That sense of wonder, of feeling infinitely small, but also a part of something so huge and so humbling. In Grand Portage, Minnesota, I'm Dan Crocker for Marketplace.